Due to technical difficulties, the first few minutes of this message were not recorded live. I'm sure you've all had this experience. You've brought your purchases up to the cash register. They're ringing everything through for you. You know, you're searching through your wallet for your money, and then they ask, "Would you be so kind as to give a dollar to such and such a charity?" You've had that experience, right? I would love to freeze time in that moment and sort through all the possible motivations that might impact how I would respond. Would I give because I felt particularly generous? Would I be motivated by the desire to get my name on the wall on one of those little poster board cutouts? Would I be motivated to give because the person in front of me didn't give and I don't want to look like a stingy miser? Would I be motivated to give in order to look good to the people behind me in line? Or maybe I wouldn't give at all because I had already made a commitment to support charities that I know about and I believe in. That's an ongoing commitment that is already a part of my life. I'll come back to this example later on, but I raise these questions of motivation in order to say that it would be equally fascinating to pause time and probe our motives as the offering plate gets passed around. Do we give to make ourselves look good? Do we give in order to receive recognition? Do we give in order to get our names on the wall? Now, I'm utterly grateful to be able to say that I don't perceive that this is a problem in our church. To be clear, I'm not pointing fingers here and saying, "Boy, I sure hope so-and-so gets the hint this morning." As far as I can see, I perceive that giving is done here with the right motives. But as Jesus speaks these words in the Sermon on the Mount, it's important for us to hear them and to double-check our own motives. Jesus' message to us this morning is quite clear and quite simple. Give to glorify God, not yourself. Give to glorify God, not yourself. So join me in Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. Jesus says, "Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them.
If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven." Okay. Verse 1, Jesus lays out a general principle. Don't do good deeds in order to impress other people. Don't do kind things to glorify yourself. Jesus isn't against good deeds. He's not against good things. But he's concerned about our motivation for doing those things. Why do we do the good things? Why do we do the kind things? Are we doing good things to make ourselves look good? Jesus says, don't. Don't do these things to glorify yourself. This is the general principle that Jesus is going to actually unpack throughout the rest of chapter 6. So if you look, if you've got your Bible in front of you and you look and see, you'll see chapter 6, don't do your acts of righteousness. That's the big general idea. And then verse 2, he talks about giving as a righteous act. Verse 5, he talks about prayer as a righteous act. And then verse 16, he talks about fasting as a righteous act. So Jesus is just unfolding this principle three times over in the rest of chapter 6. Don't do acts of righteousness to glorify yourself. We'll focus on the first of those, giving. So Jesus applies the general principle to the righteous act of giving in verse 2. "When you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full." So when it comes to giving, don't do it in a way that intentionally draws attention to yourself. Right? Don't give to glorify yourself. In a sense, Jesus is talking about loud piety, the kind of piety that says, "I'm going to give this to show how good I am." And of course, Jesus uses this image of a bunch of pompous rich guys, you know, swaggering down the street with their entourage behind them, trumpet blaring, going, "Look at me, I'm about to make a giant donation, and it's amazing." And we know from ancient sources that this was a problem, that people did like to draw attention to themselves when they gave to the temple. I was interested to see this week that there's one commentator who pointed out there is a section of the temple that was sort of cordoned off. It would have been in the more open part. A section of the temple cordoned off, and it was called the Chamber of Secrets. So nothing to do with Harry Potter. But the Chamber of Secrets was this section that the Jewish leadership cordoned off and said, listen, go into the Chamber of Secrets and give in there so that you're not tempted to draw attention to yourself when you're giving your offerings. So we know that it was an issue, giving for the sake of getting recognition. But the interesting thing to me is that there's not evidence of Jewish guys walking down the street with their entourage playing horns. If anybody ever actually did that, like the hypocrites, he says, walking down the street, blowing their horns, they're tooting their own horn. If they did that, nobody besides Jesus ever said anything about it or wrote it down. So there's no evidence that that was a practice that was going on at that moment. It seems to me that Jesus is just making an illustration that you can grab immediately and go, oh, right, don't be like those guys. Don't be like the sort of person who would do that. I suspect that if Jesus were giving the Sermon on the Mount today, he would say something like, when you give, don't announce it on Facebook and Instagram pages in order to be honored by men. There's no check in there. Don't give to be honored by men, because if you do, that's all you get. Verse 2, they have received their reward in full. You can post your offering on Facebook, but the likes that you get is all you're going to get. God's not impressed. So don't give to glorify yourself. Jesus has given us the negative expression of that principle. Now in verse 3, he's going to flip it over and give us the positive side of it. Do glorify God. Verse 3, but when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. You know, in contrast to the trumpet-blowing Facebook posting hypocrites, Jesus says, practice quiet piety. Give in secret to honor God. You know, the language of your left hand not knowing what your right hand is doing is just a hyperbolic visual to say, don't let anybody know. And I think that it's important that Jesus uses the words, the language of Father in verse 4. Give in secret and then your Father will reward you. You know, you might see the language of reward and think, oh, is this God trying to make me earn his favor? If I give sacrificially, then God will have to be pleased with me and be kind to me. That's just not what's going on here. And I think it's rooted in the fact that Jesus talks about the Father will give. Jesus is saying, you have a Father. Give in light of his love for you. Put it this way. If I hire one of the kids from the neighborhood to cut the grass, he'll come motivated by the reward to do the job. But that's it. That's the end of the relationship. I expect that when Ben is old enough, he will cut the grass, not to get a reward, but because I'm his father. Because everything that I have is his. You know, I hope that he will appreciate all that I do to provide for him and give to him. And so then cutting the grass becomes an expression of gratitude. Kids, listen up. But that's what's going on here. Jesus is asking us to recognize all that our Father has done for us. And in light of all that he has done for us, give. He's forgiven our sin. He's walked with us day by day. He's provided what we've needed. And even now, he is preparing for us an eternal dwelling that can never be taken away from us. An eternal reward that he has given freely to anyone who will believe in him and trust him. In light of that, Jesus says, Glorify God with your giving. Now, I recognize that Jesus doesn't specifically say in verse 4, glorify God, but I think that that's the natural implication when you read chapter 6 in connection with chapter 5. You know, some people have raised the question, well, what about being salt and light? Like, didn't Jesus in chapter 5 say something about let your light shine before men so that they may see your good deeds? But now he says, do your good deeds in secret? What is going on? This must be some sort of contradiction in the Bible. If you listen closely, you notice, though, that I left something out of that verse in chapter 5, didn't I? Let your light shine before men so that they may see your good deeds and what? Glorify your Father in heaven. The motivation for letting good deeds show is pointing people to God, not pointing to yourself. In chapter 6, Jesus warns us against calling attention to ourselves, but in chapter 5, Jesus says, point people to God. Put that together, what do you get? Glorify God, not yourself. I saw a few commentators this week quote this Scottish theologian from the 1800s who talked about the balance of showing and hiding, and I thought this was an appropriate way of saying it. When you're tempted to shine, when you're tempted to draw attention to yourself, you probably need to hide. When you're tempted to hide, you probably need to shine. Give to glorify God, not yourself. Let's work this out in real life. I brought the example up at the beginning of a cashier who asks for a dollar. So let's start there. If someone asks you for a dollar, is it wrong to give because you'll get your name on a little leaf in the tree of honor on the grocery store wall? I would say, well, what's the motivation? Are you doing it to toot your own horn? Well, no, don't give. Would you do it out of your gratitude for what God has done in your life? Okay, sure, give. Nobody's ever patted me on the back for giving a dollar in the checkout line. That's not drawing attention to yourself. But I'll tell you, I wrestled this week with how to make sense of this in our culture. Giving to impress other people. You know, we understand that concept. We understand that giving is a part of our Christian life and experience, and that makes a ton of sense. But Jesus isn't just talking about giving, is he? He's talking about giving for the sake of impressing other people. And I'll be honest, I don't think that that's an issue we really wrestle with in our culture. You know, I think previous generations really have to be like, look how holy I am. I'm giving this whole thing to the church, and so now that wing is named after me. And it seems to me that if we talk about impressing people with money in our culture, we are much more likely to try to impress them by spending money on ourselves than we are to give it away to somebody else. Do you recognize that? You know, I Googled it out of curiosity, donating money to impress other people, and Google told me that our culture is really not interested in that. You can see I've put giving money to impress others. Google has told me that that's not the right question. That's not what people are interested in. It's amended it to spending money to impress people. We are probably more likely to be tempted to glorify ourselves by spending money on ourselves than we are giving it away. We can sneer at the hypocrites who blow their trumpets and call attention to themselves for these generous gifts they're giving, but, I mean, they're giving to the poor. When we try to impress people, it's with the money that we spend on ourselves. I think we need to hear Jesus' words very clearly. Give to glorify God, not yourself. Right? Use your money to glorify God, not yourself. I think that the most practical, obvious application here is to make sure that you have a plan for giving, that you are intentionally using money to thank God for his faithfulness. You know, if you come to church and you sing your thankfulness to God, that's excellent. If you leave using your money to say thank you to God, to chance encounters with the cashier or to the end of the month, you're never going to be able to give freely as an expression of thanks to say, God, you deserve this for your faithfulness to me. I'd encourage all of you to consider the work of God in your life, to, in gratitude for that, have a plan to use money to glorify him. I know that you give faithfully here at church, and I'm grateful for that. I encourage you, too, to support mission agencies, missionaries, places like Friendship House, places like Why Not, people who are doing the work of God, so that we know that that money will go to those in need, as Jesus says, not just for physical help, but spiritual hope, too. Jesus assumes that giving to those in need will be a part of our faith life in when we are in relationship with God, right? He says, when you give to the needy. When you give to the needy, not if, when you give, honor your father. Be wise about it. Absolutely. I recognize that we have hesitations about giving sometimes because we don't know, we say we don't know where the money is going. I think part of acting out of gratitude to God is doing the research, is looking into it and saying, I know that these people will help to help the poor, so I am indeed giving to the needy, as Jesus talks about. Not because I feel compelled to, not because I have to earn God's favor, but because he loves me as a child. You know, when Jesus spoke this part of the Sermon on the Mount, I can't help but think that he was thinking about this. I thought that was going to be more effective because there'd be coins in it.
I thought
to myself all this week, Jesus was thinking about that. You know, he's sitting there in the temple. They don't have paper money, right? They've got coins. It's just coins. And so there are those horn-shaped, trumpet-shaped receptacles that you put your money into. And I was interested to see that some people actually think that, you know, when Jesus was talking about guys blowing their own horns to show what money they're giving, Jesus is actually thinking about these horn-shaped receptacles and the sound that the coins make as it rattles down. Look at me. Look at how much money I'm giving to the church. And then this poor widow comes in, and she's seen all these other rich guys throw in huge amounts of money and make all sorts of noise as the coins jangle to the bottom. She comes in and puts the least valuable coins of her day in, and they barely make a noise, and yet Jesus says her offering was greater than theirs. You know, I've always thought, how could she do that? How could she put in everything? Like Jesus says, she gave out of her poverty. She put in everything that she had to live on. Well, what's going to happen tomorrow? That's the question that I've always wrestled with in that story. What's going to happen tomorrow? How could she give like that? Mark and Luke and Jesus don't explain what will happen tomorrow, but they give enough to know this. She trusts that her father will take care of tomorrow. She trusts that her father will take care. And so she honors him with her giving. No, God doesn't call all of us to give 100% of our wealth. I'm not even going to do a building fund announcement right now. God is calling us to think carefully about how we use our money, how we spend our money to glorify him. He calls us to use it for his glory, not for our own. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your presence with us. Thank you for the money that we have. I was interested to see a statistic Like 70% of the world's wealth is owned by Christians. God, I pray that you would help us to be faithful with the money that you have given to us. Help us to honor you by serving those in need with this money. God, I acknowledge that there are details and that there are nuances that work into this. And I pray that you would help us to navigate those, each of us, in our own hearts and circumstances. But God, I pray that you would give us greater faith in you, that you will take care of us tomorrow so that we can give today. Be glorified in our lives, we pray. Amen.